Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up in our NFL Blitz, we'll talk more about this, but the Panthers have hired interim general manager Marty Herney as their general manager. And for those who remember the story, he was kind of going through a situation there where there were accusations about what was going on with him and an ex-wife. Either way, the Panthers have found the replacement for Ghetto Man, who is now in New York with the New York Giants.
Yeah, and curious to see what the moves are going to be for Big Blue with Ghetto Man, Dave Gettleman. But Herney, by the way, remember, he was a GM. Then Gettleman came in. He went to go do radio and TV in Charlotte. Then he came back. Then his ex-wife threw some allegations out there, which caused him to be put on probation. And the NFL looked into it and said that there was nothing to – they didn't violate any rules or laws. So this gets us back to the conversation we just had where, talking about the Mavericks, you don't want to take anything for granted. You don't want to, for us on the radio, you in the workplace, seem insensitive, sexist. But then there's also stuff where you hear, we talked about Marty Herney. Oh, what's going on with Marty and his wife? Nothing. But she puts it out there, and it was a story, and it got traction, and it cost the guy a bit of his reputation for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, listen, and those are the unfortunate things. You know, hashtag false accusing. Stop false accusing. And if there is something that's really going on, then it's worthy of being investigated. It's worthy of bringing attention to it, Mike. But the problem is, and this is where a lot of guys fall into, is this is why we never rush to judgment. I will not do it. I need to know what the circumstances were, what happened, what the story was. And a lot of guys immediately go, oh, come on, man. You know, she's just saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you talk about high-profile athletes. That's the immediate concern. Oh, do we even know what happened with Ezekiel Elliott this year?
No, we still don't know. I mean, of all the things, I mean, we can talk about Roger Goodell and his power and maybe overstepping his bounds, the fact that they took such, abuse, and they were worried about sponsors leaving in droves over the Ray Rice situation, that they overcorrect against Ezekiel Elliott, although there's nothing, including a female investigator for the NFL's own testimony saying there was nothing worth proceeding with a suspension over. I don't know what more you need. But again, it wasn't about that evidence. It was all about the collective bargaining agreement and how the process plays out on the appeal. And that's what the judges were ruling on, not the actual evidence, which you and I and fans thought, well, wouldn't that be something to put your hand up and say he didn't do it?
Yeah.
But or at least they couldn't prove he didn't do it.
More to come in our NFL Blitz here in about 20 minutes on Dukes and Bell. Let's talk to Amy Dash. Amy is a CBS Sports legal correspondent. You can follow her on Twitter, guys, at Amy-TV. And Amy, first and foremost, good afternoon. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
We're terrific. Thanks for jumping on with this. Let's start first with this Louisville situation. Was the NCAA right to vacate Louisville's 2013 title in your mind?
Personally, I don't think it's fair, just because what about all of the student athletes that worked and played hard and had literally no involvement in this? I mean, the whole prostitute event was orchestrated by a coach. So I don't see why everybody at the university has to suffer, but this is what they decided because I think they're trying to prove that the NCAA has some teeth because it's been criticized in the past for not being harsh enough. And obviously with the whole fallout and the FBI scandal, it's embarrassing to the NCAA. So I think they're just trying to get some power back.
You know, the whole situation, it just seems so shady with the Adidas and the money. I mean, it was the old school cheating, Amy. As far as Rick Pitino, does he have any recourse? Because he's got some lawsuits going on against Louisville, I believe.
Yeah, you're talking about with the FBI scandal about right. How Rick Pitino was let go. Yeah, you know, the truth of the matter is there's still no evidence that's public that demonstrates that Rick Pitino knew about money passing to recruits. There's just the testimony of one person who worked for a shady NBA agent who, I guess, used to be an AAU coach and used to feed guys to Pitino. So this random runner named Christian Dawkins says Rick Pitino knew. But besides his testimony, there is nothing else to show that he actually knew or was involved. But I think the overriding theme at Louisville, not just with the FBI scandal, but also with the whole prostitution stripper thing is they've said that the head coach is supposed to be supervising the coaches beneath, and whether or not he knew, he's still responsible for their behavior. And we know that there were Louisville coaches that took money. We just don't know who yet.
How toxic, Amy, in your mind, is Rick Pitino? Mike and I have been talking about this, whether he works again. You know, he said he'd have to take some time off and think about it. But this is not a show call situation. If a school wanted to roll the dice on him, they could, right?
Yeah. I mean, as part of the vacating the title, there was also a 5-game ban for Pitino, which doesn't apply anymore because he's been let go. But technically, he could be hired. I don't know who's willing to go out on a limb and do that right now with the fact that he could be part of even testifying. We know that he's cooperating with the FBI. And there have been subpoenas for his phone records and his emails and things like that. And the reason that they do that, it's called the grand jury subpoena, is because they want to try to find evidence to see and gauge what his level of involvement was. So they may have found stuff, they may have not. But either way, he's going to be a part of this big scandal and the criminal charges against 10 other individuals for a long time, potentially years to come. So I don't know who would want to step into that mess.
It is Amy Dash with us, guys. She is the CBS Sports legal correspondent, and she's joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline talking about, unfortunately, too many issues where sports has crossed over into the courtroom. We were just talking, Amy, before you came on about the Dallas Mavericks and what's going on with Mark Cuban. I mean, how much does he know? And I guess when did he know it, I guess, is what's up now about some of the things that are alleged in his front office.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Cuban is very savvy, and he has dealt with conflicts and situations like this in the past. So I'm sure he will find a way to wiggle out of it.
Yeah, I listen, and again, more information.
I can't get too much into that, just in full disclosure, because I used to work for Mark Cuban. He was my boss. He employed me as the first legal correspondent for Mixed Martial Arts for Axis TV.
Interesting.
That's so delicately around that subject.
So
right.
Next topic.
Yeah, listen, and we understand that. We respect it. We get it. Basically, for those who are listening going, huh, Amy doesn't want to put herself in a position to have to answer questions moving forward. And she, I get it. She worked for Mark Cuban. We were not aware of that, as she just told us that. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. Real quick, I just want to ask you this about Pitino, then we'll get back to some other stuff. Does he flip? You said he's got to testify. Do we see a situation where Pitino flips and he's talking about other coaches on the stand?
He's going to be a rat?
Yeah. Let me tell you who else was cheating. Is that what we're talking about?
You could see that. Yeah, you could see that, but here's the thing. He's maintained his innocence. He said that he knew nothing about it. So what information would he give? And if he did give information, then it proves that he's lying and he did know something about what was going on. So if you take what he says at face value, right, that he was completely ignorant and oblivious to this, then he's got nothing to offer.
True. All right, I had this scenario in my head. I see Pitino take the stand. I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And then he's just singing on the stand.
That was going to be Henry Hill?
Yes, about every other coach. And let me tell you what happened at Arizona. What? You know, so.
I don't know anything about being no rat, sir.
We know that there are going to be people testifying potentially against Pitino. I don't know specifically against Pitino, but they're going to be testifying against the other people who have already been charged and potentially other programs. Because there was an AAU coach, Jonathan Brad Augustine, all of the charges have been dropped against him,
right,
and I know that he's cooperating. And I know there's one other person who was a financial advisor. He's also cooperating. Charges that have been dismissed, some of them have been dismissed against him. And other people might start rolling around, too.
It is Amy Dash with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can check out she's blog. She's written for Huffington Post. She is also working as CBS Sports legal correspondent, breaking down all the stuff going on. We talked a lot yesterday, Amy, about the UNC situation where it almost looked like it was institutional academic fraud for almost 2 decades involving basketball, football. But in layman's terms, was the out because they offered these bogus classes to the entire student body? Is that why the NCAA balked on dropping the hammer?
Yeah, that's exactly why, because they said that it wasn't limited to just student athletes, so therefore it wasn't designed just to assist them, even though they acknowledged that they were probably steered towards those programs so that they could pass their classes and stay in the program. But they said it was available to the whole student body, and under their guidelines, apparently, they defer to the universities to decide what constitutes academic fraud. So first you saw UNC say, oh my gosh, this was massive, widespread academic fraud, and then all of a sudden they rolled back and said, well, we don't think it was as bad as we originally thought it was. So They were trying to save face there. It worked because nothing came out of that. Literally nothing happened.
Yeah, it's just, and it's one of those things, you know, that sits wrong with a lot of people. And some people think that UNC was being protected. You know, as far as the Louisville situation, I mean, the Louisville campus sits about, 300 miles away from the NCAA offices. And people are going, how did they overlook this? And you're investigating all this other stuff. Either way, it finally came out. Amy, by the way, tell everybody about your podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. So I just launched this podcast. It's called Straight Aim. And you can basically listen to it on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can get podcasts. And it's about all the controversies in sports, some of them heavily legal, others not. But I have athletes on and lawyers and people who are involved to give you the story behind the story that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Sounds great.
So I hope people download it and tune in.
All right. Straight Aim is what it's called. And she is Amy Dash.
No
bullshit. Yeah, exactly. Last thing for you. Did Mark Cuban pay well? Just curious.
Actually, yeah. You know, I used to record from my living room and get paid for it to do legal analysis from my living room.
Wow. Nice work if you can get it.
I also traveled around the country and I interviewed mixed martial artists. And it was a great program. It was a news magazine show called Inside MMA. Unfortunately, it got canceled because people want to see more live fighting rather than profiles of the athletes in mixed martial arts. So.
Right.
Interesting.
Hey, while we got you here, Amy, and because now this is not a billable hour, right? You're not getting charged. We're not getting charged.
Right. Yes. I will be sending an invoice. And by the way, I'm supposed to have Mark Cuban on my podcast. Another reason why I'm not going to be discussing that.
Yeah. I hear you. He might delay that, by the way.
Well, because you spent time in Dallas. I'll throw this at you. We went round and round about Ezekiel Elliott's situation, and all we could go by is what we read. And there were some things in that NFL report that said it happened to be a female investigator for the NFL who did say and pass it along to her superiors. She didn't see a reason for suspension. Did I get it right that really never came up in all the appeals? It was more about how the CBA and their process was supposed to play out?
No, that came up. But they didn't think that her reaching a different conclusion from the other investigator was enough to override Roger Goodell's decision, meaning they felt that Roger Goodell knew about the fact that she didn't think the witness was credible. And they thought Roger Goodell took it into account, but still decided to rule the way he did because he has the discretion to do that. And so they felt there was enough evidence to support his ruling that even if he considered the other woman, that was good enough. He didn't have to, you know, hear her testimony, and he didn't have to meet with her in person. He knew how she felt. He considered it, and he disagreed with it.
Amy, we know you got to run. We appreciate it. Check out the podcast, Straight Aim, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for the time
today.
Thanks,
guys. Take care.
Yeah, you too. That's Amy Dash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you get into these interviews and you realize, what? We were seriously unaware that she worked for Mark Cuban and she wanted to avoid that and stay away from those.
I blame
Arthur. That line of questioning.
You would.
But you know what? Because here's the deal. I mean, if this thing, and I don't know where it goes, Mike, but what if this thing starts to delve into, as we talked about off the air, in the Cuban, because my whole gist is, all right, so your CEO and your president and some other folks in the front office are doing some things that maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not. But as long as the owner, you're not involved in those things, right? And you go, well, plausible deniability, because we always talk about this. But what if they start delving into what Mark knew and how much he knew? People like Amy Dash may be interviewed, and they may be questioned about certain things. You don't know how far that goes. So yeah. I respect her for that.
And certainly in the case of the NBA, I mean, Adam Silver's been, again, getting ahead of any kind of situations that have cropped up under his leadership as commissioner. So, I mean, I think Mark Cuban will be okay, but there's going to be some – take some bumps and bruises off of this. It ain't going to look good in the court of public opinion for a minute.
Well, here's what you're going to find. This story is not going to end for a couple of reasons. The local papers in Dallas are going to be – they're pissed right now because this story was broken nationally by Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
These guys were – basically came in, got the story done, however long it took, and these guys cover the team and weren't able to uncover any of this. So they're now going to be digging and going back through some of these former employees that they may know who no longer work for the franchise, and this thing may linger on for some time. The NBA is going to investigate because this is not a good look for the league right now. And while it happens with one of their member teams, they don't want this thing to get out of hand, so it now starts to have tentacles and affects other teams around the league.
All right, man. Interesting stuff there from Amy. We'll talk to our man Mike Mayock, who's coming up next hour at 4:20 about the upcoming Combine and the NFL Draft. Mike Mayock, NFL Network analyst, will join us at 4:20. We're going to come back. We'll get to an NFL Blitz. And one of the things we'll talk about is the franchise tag. Jarvis Landry getting the franchise tag. We'll tell you what that means for the Dolphins moving forward. Some people saying that the Broncos reportedly are trying to trade Trevor Siemian. That means what? If you are moving him, does that mean you're going after Kirk Cousins? How do you like to be Kirk Cousins right now? You got the Jets saying they're willing to pay anything. You got Denver allegedly wanting to trade a quarterback to maybe open up some space. The Browns have a ton of money under the cap. Man, must be nice, Kirk Cousins. Hey, we'll get into it. NFL Blitz next.
Today, everything is different. There's no action. I have to wait around like everyone else. Can't even get decent food. Right after I got here, I ordered some spaghetti with marinara sauce, and I got egg noodles and ketchup. I'm an average nobody. Get to live the rest of my life like a schnook.
Looking at this article by Mark Bradley, talking about cleaning up college hoops. I was around it for about 12 years. And still have a lot of friends in college hoops currently. I don't know, Mike, if you can. And this gets back to our conversation about Louisville and Amy Dash, who came on, and we thank her for stopping by and giving us some legal perspective. But, you know, this idea that, you know, you can clean up all of this stuff, I don't know if you can. I mean, honestly, and coaches, in my opinion, are always going to have plausible deniability. We talk about this all the time, like, he didn't know.
Well, we joke around all the time, and we go to the Final Four, and guys think we're being, you know, I know we're prone to hyperbole. I think we're overstating it. But when you go to the Final Four, you want to cheer in Atlanta, you go down by the hotel, by the Omni and everything, it's like an episode of Sopranos. You got all these guys walking around in these wacky, you know, sweatsuits. Everybody looks like Big Paulie. You know what I mean? It's just it's very shady because you have the coaches and then you've got the hangers-on. Josh Pastner's having to pay the price now for having a dirtbag in his life. You know, I mean, maybe you thought his intentions were good, but obviously they weren't. It's just, you're right. It's too far down the tracks because the NCAA, I don't trust the NCAA to get it right. And by the way, UNC fans are still going bananas. Every time we mention the Tar Heels, you know what we get on the text line?
What's that?
Stop talking about that! Like, let me wrap this up, and we'll never have to mention it again.
I doubt that.
Florida State had a situation years ago where football players got popped for an online course that the NCAA ruled was bogus. The thing is, I give North Carolina all the credit in the world. They made this BS African studies class available to everybody, apparently, or at least enough of the student body, and they targeted all the dumb jocks to it so they get a passing grade. But they made it so available to the student body at large that it does pass muster. It's still shady as hell, but the NCAA said they couldn't obviously move on it. So, look, in North Carolina, if there's any penance or anything justice in this world, they lost $18 million in lawyers' fees trying to fight it. I've seen other schools get involved with it. You know, Jim Herrick Jr., remember his kid? Had that basketball 101, how many points the three-point shot?
Yeah, but this stuff has been going on for a long time.
UNC just did it more, they did it better, better
they were
more clever. More clever.
They were clever, but this stuff has been going on for a long time. I mean, we had classes like this when I was in school.
What was the dumb jock class when you were in Texas?
It wasn't a dumb jock class. It was just a class that you knew either you didn't have to show up for or you were going to be taken care of. That's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the class may have read, social sciences and studies of something, and it sounded like, wow, it's a really hard class. Nobody showed up for the class. This stuff has always been going on. Mm-hmm. But my point about this whole cleaning up thing, and then we're going to get to our NFL Blitz, the NCAA has no jurisdiction over the AAU. And as long, and this is not me, this is what I've heard mm-hmm. from, I'm talking about top-notch guys that you know, to the lower-level guys at Division II schools, who understand how they're losing out and not being in Power 5 conferences, trying to recruit kids. Until you get a hold of what's going on at the AAU level, none of this stuff's going to change. It used to be brown bags, Mike, and you take care of a kid and his family, right. And then the AAU has kind of become the middleman for that. And that's why Patino was caught up in this shoe deal with Adidas and the numbers that they were giving the university. Until that happens, and I don't think it will, you're not going to be able to control what's going on in the illegal activity because, again, they have no jurisdiction over them. So I'm just saying that I love the article by Mark Bradley, but the reality for me is being around it and have seen it, college basketball's got a lot of stuff. The underbelly of college basketball is not good.
They've let it get too far. The shoe companies have too much. You know, let's see if this Adidas thing with Louisville pushes the shoe companies back to the shadows. I doubt it. Guys, it's
too much money.
Again, too much money, too many go-betweens. Real quick, we'll wrap it because I'm going to get to football. But do you think Georgia fans would care if they could find a guy like Calipari that you just become a one-year and done? You know, because, you know, Yonte Maton's sticking around for 4 years. You know, was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope 2 years? Was he two? Yeah, he was two. I mean, do you mind? Because let's be honest, it works, you know, not this year, but it generally works for Kentucky pretty well.
I would love it. For me at this point,
it's a fraud. You're making a sham of the whole idea of secondary education, but who cares? It's basketball.
But anybody at Kentucky says those kids are coming to play and sustain their education or not, they're not watching. Those kids are going to be NBA right. players. The only reason they're having to go is because the rule's in place. That's the only reason they're going to Kentucky or Duke or wherever.
Right.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, a couple of things going on. In a surprising move, the Dolphins placed the franchise tag on wide receiver Jarvis Landry. I like Landry's game. He was good. He was really good against us. I'm talking about the Falcons. That means he'll get paid approximately $16 million. It's a non-exclusive deal, so if any other team is interested in him, it would cost them 2 first-round picks. But he's got to sign the deal, and we'll see where this goes because, again, nobody likes to be franchise tagged.
And the idea that you basically now, unfortunately, if you're him, now you're screwed because the Dolphins are the only team you can talk to. So you got to make your agent break the deal. We'll see where it goes. There were rumors early before they did this. They were looking to trade him. I think you're right. When we went to one of our unfortunate ill-timed pass rush lulls against Jay Cutler, that's when Landry, unfortunately, and at the time, Jay Ajayi started turning and burning us in the second half.
Yeah. So that is really the only guy in the NFL. Franchise tag could be started to be used yesterday. The only guy that has been franchise tagged as of late. Meanwhile, the other big news is Colts quarterback Andrew Luck. He did a Facebook conversation with Peter King. He talked about, where you've been throwing. What are you throwing? What's going on with the throwing?
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of sort of a little bit of throwing, but strengthening and preparing my shoulder to be able to handle the throw load that is part of being an NFL quarterback. That's part of being a quarterback. So the focus right now is still strengthening all those muscles and making sure that my shoulder can handle it.
Oh, boy. What Colts fan in the world right now is saying, man, I'm feeling really good about Andrew Luck back on the gridiron this year. I mean, I know it's only February, long way to go, but they better get some of that secret sauce that Peyton Manning was rubbing on his shoulder from Switzerland and make it an ASAP.
Yeah, that means a trip overseas. Andrew Luck did say, by the way, is he going to have another surgery?
Oh, that is not an option for me right now. I feel very, very good about where I am. So that ship has sailed in my mind, which is also a bit of a relief. You know, I'm not going to lie.
Now, we had Stephen Holder on from the Indianapolis Star, Carl, last month. And he was saying, I asked him, I said, was it a misdirection? Was it bait and switch, you know, by the Colts? And he said, no, everything was going well for Andrew Luck until something else happened to his shoulder. I mean, look, I'm not trying to be, doom and gloom on here, but it didn't sound real good. I got to be honest with you. And the message is also coming out a week before the season ticket renewal is up.
Yeah. We'll see how good Andrew Luck is when, and again, I'm not worried about OTAs and all that stuff, even with the time he missed. But at training camp, everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be watching. And, you know, you may not even roll him out for preseason games for the fear of being hurt. Or is it that he's still not completely recovered?
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't play last year, and he hasn't thrown anything. It sounds like he's throwing a squeezy ball or a Nerf football. I'm a little nervous right now. Remember that there's a guy we used to work with, this big Andrew Luck guy. I didn't think it was going to go down like this.
No.
But geez Louise, man, he's a guy who's getting paid a fortune, and now you're worried about a second year now where he could be MIA.
It is our NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell. In case you missed it, coming up here in about 10 minutes, some fun and weird and shenanigan stories. Hey, Ryan Shazier says he plans on playing football again, working on becoming a Pro Bowler. It's his first interview since that spinal injury back in December. Mike, again, I said this at the end of the year. They lost a big part of their defense when he went down. I wish him the best of luck, but I don't think he's going to play like that again.
Well, I mean, it would be more than a Disney movie, right? I mean, this is
no
the guy's
doubt.
Life we're talking about. It would be one hell of a story if this guy could find a way to get back on the gridiron because it just, I mean, you're hearing him learning how to walk again and just, you know, we have some great success stories at the Shepherd Center down the road here in Atlanta. But, it's really a long road ahead of Ryan Shazier. He's a young guy. He's the heart and soul of that defense, as you said, that was sorely missed. Let's hope. I mean, look, we're all pulling for him and hope it works. But, boy, it sure seems like long odds.
Meanwhile, Eagles wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey had shoulder surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff. It's an injury he suffered during training camp. So, apparently, he played with that all through the season, went to the Super Bowl. Now he's having surgery. That's tough.
Worked out pretty well for him, huh?
Not bad at all. And also, the Broncos, as we mentioned, reportedly are trying to trade quarterback Trevor Siemian. I just think they're looking at all their options right now. If you feel like they're a potential playoff or Super Bowl team, but they're lacking quarterback. This is what they're trying to do, is open up some space.
Now, from the Kirk Cousins camp, his agent has said he wants to go to a winner. Well, that would eliminate everybody but the Broncos. But then again, the Broncos aren't the same Broncos because they've got some major salary cap hits. They've got to move on from Aqib Talib and their wide receivers that nobody could throw the football to for the last three seasons, right? And Sanders and Bebe Thomas, they need them to restructure their deals. They're getting older by the minute out there in Denver. The Jets could pay him a ton, but the Broncos could pay him more. The number the Jets were throwing out, we mentioned yesterday, could be a $150 million deal, $60 million guaranteed, which is insane for a guy that's never won. Has Kirk Cousins won a playoff game?
No.
I mean, geez Louise, man.
No. That's, again, going rate. And last but not least, man, the Panthers hire interim general manager Marty Herney as their general manager. He was a GM from 02 to 2012 before getting canned in favor of Dave Gettleman. All right. He is now the general manager with the New York Football Giants. Either way, Mike, you mentioned it earlier. Herney was expected to go, you know, to be the full-time guy, and then he had to clear this harassment accusation that came out.
Wife was saying that she alleged that he was making threatening calls and all sorts of other things, which the NFL looked into and said there was no basis for that, let alone the Mecklenburg County authorities felt the same way. So he's back. But again, this goes back to there's nothing worse than guys that act like creeps, but there's nothing worse than accusing a guy of acting like a creep when he didn't do it. Right? So in this case, we had a laugh at his expense for a couple of weeks. It looked bad PR-wise, but he's back in the office.
Hey, real quick, back to Andrew Luck. The Colts, too, are unlikely to sign 34-year-old running back Frank Gore. Right. We think they're going to draft that next big running back. Remember, Gore was supposed to be a stopgap, maybe make a run to the Super Bowl with Andrew Luck. Then you said it. He gets hurt. They're old. Andre Johnson out of there. They're not going to re-sign 34-year-old Frank Gore. They got to go get a running back.
I mean, are you more like sort of like pragmatic about Andrew Luck's future? I just hear that. I'm not struck with a lot of confidence from what I saw. And I watched a video earlier with Peter King. I mean, do you think about at some point you maybe pick up a quarterback mid round too, just to be safe as an insurance policy?
Well, I think we got fed a bunch of bull last year when the head coach at the time said, "I haven't seen him throw. I don't know." I think everybody in that organization knew what was going on. Nobody wanted to talk about it. You said it. They kept stretching it out, stretching it out. Oh, he's fine, he's fine. He's done for the year. Mike, it is a big concern. It is. And you know, again, if you listen or watch this Facebook conversation with Peter King, Brian, who's running the board for us today, says he keeps looking over as if somebody's giving him pointers, like, keep talking about how good your shoulder is. Keep talking about you throwing. Keep talking.
I'm telling you, it looked like a hostage video. No, again, as you said earlier, the quality of these things. It's never that good when you do like these kind of Skyping deals, Sam.
It really did. He wasn't making any eye contact directly, kept looking over to the left, And it would be these long drives. And went, and he's like looking up and over. Keyword, not keyword.
I'm fine. My shoulder is great. Now, again, I'm looking forward to throwing a football. I haven't thrown anything larger than a ping pong ball in the last 60 days.
I know this. I'm not picking him for fantasy football. That I do know.
So
okay?
no neck beard for you.
I'm just telling you, he's gonna have to come back and have a prove it year for me.
Kirk Cousins now. I'm loving this free agency, but they got to get the Kirk Cousins deal done because Matt. The longer these quarterbacks and these numbers pop around, we're talking about Matt Ryan's getting like a $200 million contract right
now. Hey, coming back in case you missed it, some fun stories, man, and one about cheating at the Winter Olympics.
The throw load that is.
Uh-oh.
You missed it with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you.
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, we've got a Dukes and Bell Vision Computer poll up. Brought to you by our friends at Vision Computers. Visit them at 5865 Jimmy Carter Boulevard, Suite 125 Norcross. Or call 770-840-0015. It's easy, guys, based on the explosive SI article dealing with the hostile work environment. With the Mavericks, do you believe Mark Cuban when he says he was not aware of the allegations? Simply vote yes or no at Dukes and Bell 929. Let's get to, in case you missed it, Conti out. Mike Bell, what's going on?
Well, actually, one follow-up to the story you just mentioned about Mark Cuban with our poll question. We'll talk more about it coming up. But $600,000 fine for Mark Cuban for basically saying, yeah, man, there's really nothing gained by us winning. We got a tank. And in a conversation that he did on a podcast with Julius Irvin earlier in the week. So he had previous record for Mark Cuban was $500,000 for saying the refs suck when he did that all that statistical studies about 15, 16 years ago, including the Mavericks and the Suns games back in the day.
If you listen to our interviews with Steve Koonin on a weekly basis, Hawks CEO, Mike and I will try to attempt to bait him to say something. And he will say at certain times, I don't want to get fined by the NBA. This is what Puffy K's talking about.
Yeah, man. And when you and I were just talking about this off the air, and Mark Cuban's a billionaire, and he's very shrewd and everything, but $600,000 is $600,000. I mean, geez Louise. You could buy a hell of a boat for that. I just saw some. It's not even my money, and it hurts.
It's a lot of dough. I don't care how you put it.
You and I just feel like I got punched in the stomach when I heard it. I like Mark Cuban.
Well, people always act like that's pocket change for billionaires, and maybe it is. But the idea is $600,000. Right.
Well, let's extrapolate his wealth to what we've got. You drop $20 on the sidewalk and forget about it. I'm still going to be a little ticked off.
That's exactly right.
Hey, man, Olympic sore loser? We know the North Koreans. Well, they're strange folks up there. We don't really know much about them because you can't talk to them. You talk to the foreigners, they tend to put you in jail for the rest of your life. But if you didn't see the highlights, Jong Kwang Bom.
Who?
Jong Kwang Bom. Looks like he tripped a fellow competitor in the 500 meter. And by the way, how many versions of the stupid speed skating can you have? 500, 1,500, 3,000? Anyway, but anyway, in the
it's all about endurance.
Whatever. In the 500 meter short track event, he was starting to lose his edge and he goes down. And according to some, and okay, me and other people that have seen the video, it looks like as he's going down, he reaches out to grab the Japanese skater in front of him and take him out too. Now, in the case of Jong Kwang Bom,
who?
The Japanese, North Korean skater. The Japanese coach said that he thought it was unintentional. His hand happened to be by my skate as he fell down. Said the skater for Japan named Ryosuke Sakazumi. So Sakazumi got sucked it to me by Jong Kwang Bom. And you wonder why nobody gives a flip about the Winter Olympics.
So he actually pulled him down.
It looked like it. His hand just kind of sprung out. Apparently, Sakazumi was able to remain upright, continue to race, but Olympic officials still called for a restart. And after a half a lap in the second rung, Zhang again collided with Sakazumi. So sure sounds like Bomb has it in for Sakazumi.
So Sakazumi is the guy he pulls down.
Bomb was the tripper. Sakazumi was the victim.
Who's Bomb?
That is Jong Kwang Bom.
Where's Sakazumi?
Sakazumi was in front. That's when Bomb went, not on my watch.
All right, got you. I got you. I got you. Sakazumi is the guy that gets pulled down by Bomb.
Sakazumi, he finished a distant fourth. Disqualified the judges for the push. The Korean guy was ushered away by a North Korean handler. Didn't address the press.
Well, they never address the press.
Yeah, poor Sakazumi. Hey, Mike Patrick is stepping away from the mic. 35 years, he's called everything for ESPN and ABC. He's done college basketball, NFL, primetime. He's done the Sunday night game. Remember him and Theismann back in the day? And, of course, if you're a Georgia fan, you remember a couple years ago, I believe, was it Ron Meyer? Who's he work? Anyway, take a listen to Patrick. This was the Georgia-Alabama game.
I have an important question.
Go ahead.
What is Brittany doing with her life?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany who?
Spears. What is she doing with her career?
Why do we care at this point? Is she here?
I don't think so.
Is she a football fan?
Oh, I'm sure she is. Georgia from the 25. Stafford wants it all.
Got it.
Touchdown! Mikey Henderson on the first play from scrimmage.
That's Todd Blackledge there, who was kind of befuddled by the comments about Britney Spears. I believe that was the time Britney showed up and she had shaved her head.
Yeah, she was going through some things in life, as many of us do. She had shaved her head and everybody was wanting the same question. So he just presented it on the broadcast. Had nothing to do with the game, but I love Blackledge's his response. Who?
Was she here? Anyway, great stuff. I like Patrick. I always got a kick out of him. So I mean,
I thought he did a really good job.
Not everybody's cup of tea, but he made me chuckle. Hey, Jennifer Lawrence, she steps. And by the way, I think she's a knockout. And a great actress as well. But the Jennifer Lawrence tells the PC police to just lighten up. She was doing a big media scrum for the new movie about Russian spies called Red Sparrow. You've seen the coming attractions for that? It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw the previews when we went and saw Black Panther. And that's Red Sparrow, I think it is, right?
Yep.
It looks phenomenal. The book, obviously, if you're into spy novels and whatnot, is great. But, you know, I think, Mike, she's taking that next step. You know, when she did Hunger Games, you know, that was her coming out party, and everybody was like, okay. I think she is now considered to be one of the top-notch actresses in Hollywood. And to your point, I think she's right. Lighten up, Frances.
Yeah, I loved her in American Hustle. She plays Christian Bale's just wackadoodle wife. Great stuff. Anyway, the reason she's in the news is as she's doing promotions for Red Sparrow, she's in London with some of her co-stars, and there's a photo, which everybody saw, went around the world, where she's in this amazing Versace dress, and it's very low cut. She's always wearing sexy gear. That's her prerogative. And her co-stars, the actors, are all wearing like jackets because it's actually pretty cold. So immediately, some women around the world and other people went, oh, look at this. The men get to wear coats and she's got to be half naked on this rooftop in London. And she's like, no, that was my choice. I kind of like wearing sexy dresses and the guys could have taken their jackets off if they wanted. Jeremy Irons and Joel Edgerton is one of the co-stars in this. So Jennifer Lawrence basically says, this is not only utterly ridiculous, I'm extremely offended. That Versace dress was fabulous. You think I'm going to cover that thing up with a coat and a scarf? I was outside for 5 minutes. I would have stood in the snow for that dress because I love fashion. That was my choice. Thank you, Jennifer Lawrence. PC police, go cram it.
That's called a clap back.
Well, and I love the way she starts this post. Wow, I don't really know where this got started. Jennifer Lawrence wearing a revealing dress in the cold. Controversy. It's funny. It's great, though. I love the fact that she said what she said, and good for her, man.
Isn't that where it is, though, 2018, as we said? Look, I get it. In 2018, men, we're all evil. We're all horrible people and all that. But the stuff that gets started out of nothing. Somebody sees that picture and immediately throws out Carl. I picture some man made her wear that outfit. Some public relations person. Some movie dirtbag.
Listen. I like Jennifer Lawrence a whole lot. I like her even more after this. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I do. I love this response, man.
Hey, man, we were talking yesterday. We got time for that? I got time, Sam, for one more? We were talking earlier about NASCAR on Tuesday's show because you were working on Monday with Randy Mack. And how is NASCAR doing? Well, not so good. 5.3 overnight rating, the lowest for the Daytona 500 since they started flag-to-flag coverage back in the amazing race of 1979 where you had the fight with Cale Yarborough and the Allisons. But anywho, the ratings are absolutely just abysmal. Previous low was 5.6 back in 2014. So they are struggling right now. They still did better in the long haul overall than the NBA All-Star Game, which was, of course, on cable with TNT and TBS.
That's right.
And the NASCAR races on Fox. But still, man, some struggles for a sport that really is searching for some answers. Atlanta, by the way, is the race this weekend.
Ooh. Yeah, interesting, man. You continue to tell me that. They got to find some new star power. Mm. Hey, man, coming up, we will go on the sidelines with the Dogs. We'll continue to talk about the controversy that continues to happen. I guess it's the fallout, should I say, involving the NCAA investigation into Ole Miss. And more from Greg Postel, who is the interim Louisville president, talking about the NCAA sanctions. It's all coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.